Hello, darkest MSM. I've come to face you once again. Because the horror steadily streaming grew seeds of fear while I was sleeping. And the nightmares you planted in my brain were sustained when you sighed the silence. In quarantine I walked alone down the halls of my own home. In the halo of a hazel cone I wore a mask cause I was in that throne. Then my mind was stabbed with the thought of its own free will. I tried until I understood the science. And on the evening news I saw 10 million people, maybe more, people jamming without thinking, people aping without listening, people spewing hate that nameless voices share, but no one dare disturb the sound of silence. Who said I, you do not know that silence like a cancer grows? Learn the science that it might teach you, to the path that it might reach you. But my words lie silent, raindrops fell, and echo in the wells of pseudoscience. And the people bow and shouted its warning in the findings that it was forming. And I found that the words of the prophets are written in substack mail and Twitter jail and echoes
to the general public. So many people are culpable here: politicians, regulatory bodies, media, physicians, individual physicians. Everyone is in that group is culpable of the most terrible crime ever committed on humanity. It's on that scale, and I'm not exaggerating here. I've got my head screwed on. I know exactly what's going on. And it's absolutely tragic.
My first reaction when I heard it was going to be a vaccine, the mRNA, was, no, this is too dangerous. When you hear about being wrapped up in a lipid nanoparticle, we know it's not going to stay in the deltoid muscle. It would never stay in the deltoid muscle, as we were promised. It travels all around the body. It travels to the brain, to the heart, to the blood vessels, travels to the testes and the ovaries. And this is why we're seeing so many people suffering from serious adverse reactions, including a lot of heart disease, degenerative central nervous system type disorders, autoimmune diseases, and certainly many, many problems, gynecological problems, female problems. This also contains DNA fragments. And DNA and mRNA can transcribe and end up in the nucleus of our cells, including our germ cells. This is so risky, it should never have been injected into a single human being ever. This is so risky, it should never have been injected into a single human being ever.
Well, thanks very much indeed, and welcome to the channel. My name is Jim Ferguson, and I've got Dr. James Thorpe, who's second time on the channel. Hello, Doctor. Lovely to have you on as my guest again. How are you today?
Jim, I'm very blessed. Thank you so much for having me back on your platform.
Not at all. My pleasure. And just for the sake of those people that maybe didn't see the podcast with us, could you just maybe briefly tell us a little bit about your background?
Sure. I'm Jim Thorpe. I'm an MD, and I am a board-certified obstetrician-gynecologist and also board subspecialty certified in high-risk obstetrics, also known as maternal fetal medicine. I've been in practice for over 44 years. I'm extensively published.
Fantastic, Doctor. Now, there is something that I would like to just run into with you, and it's the fact that the Pfizer are reportedly to have hidden 80% of the trial data in relation to COVID. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Do you have any knowledge of that?
Yes, I do. And I'm intimately familiar with their shenanigans. In fact, a recent investigator suggests that 80% of the deaths in their clinical trials were removed and were deleted. And I believe that. And the reason why I believe that is because I've looked at the data. And also, this goes hand in glove, a perfect fit of the puzzle pieces that have been put forth by other experts, such as Alexandra Sasha Latipova, such as Brooke Jackson, such as Karen Kingston. We've all documented their fraudulent death narrative, hiding this bioweapon from the global citizens.
I mean, this is shocking, shocking stuff. And of course, Pfizer have got this immunity. I wonder how long they'll keep that immunity. Now you talked about somebody by the name of Alexandra Sasha Latipova. I hope I'm pronouncing her name correctly. But I've got an article on her, which has gone rather large. It's currently sitting at 3.7 million views, and it's pinned to the top of my X channel. She's made some very startling claims, but you've worked closely with her, haven't you?
I have. I've worked very closely with her. We've been on each other's platforms, and we maintain contact. She's a highly intellectual, ethical, and moral leader. She is, you know, this is nothing different than exactly what Dr. Michael Yeadon, a former Pfizer executive, has said. There is no doubt the shenanigans and the charade are over. This was the most lethal drug ever released to mankind.
She has actually stated, and I'm just going to make sure I get this right, because she I've got some quotes here. She said, so I've said, according to Latipova, the Department of Defense, DOD, and then I've got her quoted as had, and I quote, very clear intent to harm by executing, and I quote again, a mass genocide of Americans. And on this, I've got on to say that under the Department of Defense's control and direction, drug manufacturers like Pfizer, like Moderna and Janssen started mass producing the shots for Operation Warp Speed long before the first cases of COVID even appeared. These figurehead organizations, Latipova insists, were just obeying the Department of Defense's orders. If this is true, and I don't really have any doubt that it's not, this is a declared war on humanity. If they set out to deliberately kill not just millions of Americans, but millions of people around the world, this is appalling. This is almost too much to believe that somebody could actually do this.
But no, this is true.
Just for those who don't know who you are, tell us a bit about yourself.
Well, so I spent my career in pharmaceutical research and development, I was not known at all, and I didn't want to be known. And I happily left the industry. I was doing just consulting a little bit and mostly enjoying myself and studying art. In 2020, when this whole fake pandemic started, and at that time I didn't know it was fake, but I wasn't worried about it either, because very early on it was not, you know, it was clear that this is not a dangerous illness, and so I didn't understand why all the hoopla. I don't watch TV, so I was, you know, I wasn't like exposed to brainwashing daily. Well, that's why I don't watch TV. But by the time they started talking about mRNA technology as vaccine, that's when I became extremely concerned, because from my knowledge from pharma industry, I knew how dangerous it was and toxic. And so the government officials, health authorities started pushing this whole idea that everybody will be vaccinated, that you need to get vaccine passports and all that. I was just taken aback, and I started looking into the data for myself. From around, you know, early to middle 2021, when the data started coming in about vaccine injuries and deaths, that became extremely concerning. I started doing Weyers analysis, and I started publishing my findings. So my first finding was batch variability. So actually, I was the first in the world to identify this problem. I published it with the help of Dr. Mike Eden in the UK first, actually. And then from then on, I met up with this researcher, Craig Parody Cooper, and we collaborated on the website that he started. It's called How Bad Is Your Batch? So I don't know if you're familiar with that. But yeah, so we started it together.
It's a bit scary, that, isn't it? I mean, for those who took, you know, for understandable reasons, I can't be doing with these people who say, well, it was their fault, they deserved it, they should never have taken the... And you're thinking, hang on a second, this mm-hmm. was a military-grade PSYOP designed yeah. to bully, cajole, blackmail, whatever, people into taking this jab.
Yeah, exactly. People were coerced. I don't buy it. You didn't have to. You know, very few people, you know, in my position where I don't need to work, somebody who owns their own business, they don't really have to, but they were also coerced, and there was this whole PSYOP going on, and not everybody like me knows the technology and can read the regulatory documents for themselves. So that's, yeah, I don't buy it. So people were completely deceived, first of all, and then coerced, and even like very... Yeah, the members of the military were essentially like some were physically injected, you know, taken down and injected. So it's anywhere
from the U.S. military.
Yeah, or if they refused, they would get punished. They would be in the brig, for example, or, you know, punished in other ways, or discharged dishonorably, can't find a job. There was anywhere from just lying and you know, the preference of the evildoers was, of course, to lie and have people volunteer, because you can't, you know, force everyone. But it was anywhere from just lying to actual forcing, you know.
Yeah. I get the impression that your journey has been not dissimilar to Mike's. Because Mike started out, well, I mean, obviously having worked in the pharmaceutical industry for most of his working life, and I've watched his eyes opening in the last 3 years. Mine have opened pretty much at the same pace.
We're in the middle of an ongoing crime. I've no idea how long it's going to last. I think I'm convinced that it will be the biggest crime in history. It's global. It has the intent of control, removing everybody's freedom, and I personally think will involve killing further millions, if not billions, of people. That makes it a pretty big competitor for the title worst crime in history. It is long planned. I won't bore you with the details, but I've definitely come across information that shows that the components of the deceit that they've used, you know, PCR, exaggerated PCR testing, the use of fear-based messaging through the media, this stuff's been rehearsed by militaries and the people we might think of as the spooks for at least 25 years and possibly longer. So it's long planned, very serious. Here's the thing. why I'm calling you to arms. It's not going to return to the old normal. One, that's never their intention. So it's not going to happen passively, because it's not, there isn't an actual phenomenon that's going to wear off. They're not going to allow it to return to normal. So if you comply with this tyranny, it will end with the loss of your liberty and probably your life. The supply chains that move materials, raw materials and finished goods around the world are being sawn through on a global scale. You only got to look at where the shipping is, where it should be and where it actually is. And terrifyingly, the same is happening to food production worldwide, food and fertilizer production. It's in the wrong place. It's deliberate. They're smashing the means of manufacturing enough calories to keep 7.8 billion people alive. And, you know, where do you think that's going to end? Well, the answer is mass starvation, war, global migration. That's what's going to happen if you and everybody else choose to do nothing at all. Also, economic destruction we can see happening around us. Interest rates will rise on the back of huge debts. That will just cause mass bankruptcies, rolling recessions, depressions, things like that. And I would also imagine loss of confidence in the very thing called money. So any savings you've got, I think they'll just vanish. Literally, people will just say, I no longer trust sterling. I don't want to accept it. And so all your savings are now worth nothing. So if you wait, I believe it'll be too late. I think you already know.
Welcome, everybody, and thank you, Adrian. Let's first look at the impact COVID-19 probably has. We don't know yet the final outcome of this pandemic. There's a lot of uncertainty, but we know already that it will have a changing effect, changing on economies, societies. It's not just to be compared with the economic crisis which we had to pass through 10 years ago. The effect will be much similar to World War, and actually all countries in the world are affected. So if we look at the impact, of course, we first see the impact on global economic growth. Even in the most optimistic estimates of the IMF and OECD, we will be back to the output level of the end of 19 only at the, in the best case, only at the end of 21. Let me just, since we are coming at the end, let me just conclude by saying we are at a turning point of humankind. I think we should not underestimate the historical significance of the situation we are in. We know the world will look differently when we move out, hopefully as soon as possible, from the acute phase of the virus into a new situation. Now, we have three options for the new situation. The first one is that all the negative aspects which we have seen during the crisis, and I refer to the egoism which has increased, I would say, on an international, national, but also, let's face it, on an individual level, that these negative tendencies will even increase, will continue, and I don't want to be too much a pessimist, but I would say in this case, I'm very concerned about the life of my grandchildren. So second situation is that people assume we are just going back to the good old world which we had, and everything will be normal again in how we are used to normal, in the old fashion. This is, let's say, fiction. It will not happen. The cut which we have now is much too strong in order not to leave traces. And then we have the third possibility, to construct a new concept based on the learnings, on the observations we have seen, and to create really, and I come back, a more resilient, a more inclusive, and a more sustainable
case. And I imagine it must have been a similar culture shock for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Like, I believed vaccines prior to this. I now realize, obviously, how hugely, evil this deception is. It's just systematic poisoning, basically. That's what it is. But, at that time, I didn't have anything against vaccines in general. I just realized that they are pushing this extremely dangerous technology as vaccine, and it wasn't a vaccine. Mm. And so that was the very, very much, wake up moment for me, because when you see the government officials who you previously trusted go on media and say outright lies. And I was like, I can't believe this. Like I just, and I know that they know that they're lying. Right.
Yeah.
But so I was just like, I don't understand what's going on. Why are they lying? Why are they knowingly lying and pushing all this? But I have to look into it for myself. So since then, and then, yes, I also came to the conclusion, same with as Mike, that this whole virology and vaccinology are completely fake sciences. And they have been faked for a long time for reasons of, the systematic poisoning, because they need to create children with cancer. They need to create children with autism, because billion-dollar industries depend on it, fighting cancer and fighting autism.
Now, I've never heard anyone say that before. I don't doubt what you're saying is true, but it hadn't really. You don't often hear people saying they are deliberately creating mm-hmm. autistic children. Is that one of the side effects of vaccination?
Oh yeah, it's one of the primary ones, and this is we're talking before mRNA. Actually, the mRNA doesn't really. We don't have the autism with mRNA technology. We have everything else: cancer and death and cardiovascular myocarditis. But the previous ones, yes. So all of this vaccination schedule, it causes autism in children because of the poisoning, neurotoxicity, and also destruction of what I, after like looking into this and reading literature and. In history, what it does primarily, it destroys microbiome. And microbiome is everything in the human body, because we have more microbial cells than human cells by cell count. By weight, we have more human cells. But there are many more bacterial cells. They're responsible for everything. They live in your gut and actually live everywhere in the sinuses, all sorts of areas. And they're responsible for everything, for making neurotransmitters, for making the metabolism, all sorts of things. So that's why vaccines cause diabetes. So that's why we have obesity. That's vaccines, and that's why we have autism, because it's a neurotoxins. They get into the brain, especially the metals that are like aluminum was always a problem, but they replace it with other things and metals, and they still get into the brain of the baby, and they still cause it in them. So. So it is a destruction of a human, and it's very cruel, but they do it on purpose. They absolutely do it on purpose.
Right.
Also, all of these things, they're extremely poisonous. And then, of course, there was all kinds of stuff that, Kevin McKernan published, but even before Kevin found DNA, I had reports from Germany of finding DNA in these jabs hundreds of times over the limit. And, and finding RNA that was never conforming to the specification. And now I know that they can't make it conforming to specification. It's very unstable. So it's just a mess. It's a total mess, but it's very dangerous because all of this can get into the cells.
But some batches, we're on the mRNA vaccines now. Some batches were were worse than others because they had, what, more of these heavy metals and toxins?
What I think was going on, because there was such huge variability, it was variability by geographies. They were splitting the batches, which is a common practice. This goes back to Wyeth was doing it, which is subsidiary of Pfizer now. But Wyeth was doing it for their vaccine. CDC told them. So when they had like 20 deaths of children in one hospital from traditional vaccine manufactured by Wyeth, well, CDC came up with a brilliant idea. They said, you just need to split them better and send them to different locations so that you don't have a cluster of deaths in one place, right? So they since then, this practice has been, you know, established in the vaccine industry. So you avoid big clusters. But with these poisons, it was unavoidable. So there were many instances of clusters of deaths. And as I said, we just don't know what particular toxicity means. It could mean that there are more deadly ingredients. Craig identified, at least in Europe, it was the freshness of it kind of had a driver. So if it's freshly made, so Belgium was kind of a like ground zero. It was highest toxicity in Belgium because the plant is in Belgium. And then as you like move away from Belgium, you have lower and lower. But it was, you know, roughly, like, yeah, you know, not very 100% predictive, but that was one of the drivers. If it's fresh, it's definitely deadly. Then there was, so could be differences in ingredients. Then we found that Department of Defense was also fake relabeling and substituting smaller batches, like within a million, let's say a million doses batch, they throw in 30,000 doses of relabeled, God knows where it's coming from. So they were doing that too. So that could be like introduction of more toxic, smaller lots into larger lots and relabeling them. But we've caught DOD doing that, and nobody got prosecuted for this.
Right. So I suppose it's very hard to understand their motivation, mm-hmm. or rather what their exact intentions are. We just know we have the evidence of what they did.
Well, we have the evidence of what they did, but at this point, I call it murder. I call it premeditated murder, because there is such a category of premeditated murder, which is called depraved indifference. It's when you knowingly inflict harm. And now we have them for several years knowing that these products cause excessive deaths and injury, and all they do is deny and continue. So it is a premeditated murder.
Did you think by now, I mean, I certainly did in my naive innocence, I thought that the story would have broken by now. It would have been impossible to keep the general public from realizing what went on. But it seems that even now the media has successfully held back the truth.
The media, yes, that just tells you how many people believe what media says, and they don't want to think. Actually, somebody on Substack, you know, I write on Substack. There are a lot of great writers on Substack, and somebody, I forget who said, you know, I forget percentages, 20% of people can think, you know, 30% of people can think when they are explained, you know, the facts, and the rest, they would rather die than think. Yeah. That's what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a bit depressing. Who do you think is behind all this? What do you reckon? Give me the big picture.
Well, the big picture, I try to not speculate too much about the big picture, because what I see lacking is people looking at the immediate crime scene, and this is where I'm focusing. So I'll just describe what I know for sure as far as the organizational structure of this crime. But then later on, it's you know, there are some obvious things, but there are less obvious also. So the immediate, you have to evaluate the immediate crime scene. The immediate crime scene, you have a doctor or a pharmacist or a nurse pushing the needle with poison into the person. So that's the henchman woman. Some of them are doing it willingly and knowingly. Actually, a lot of them are now. So after, again, 3 years of this, you can't have an excuse, or I just didn't know. They know.
How do they know? Because they've seen...
Because so many people drop dead in front of them. Mm-hmm. already. Okay, and then a bunch of their patients died a few weeks after the booster. So you can't, as a trained professional, you have a standard by which you're judged, which is you are trained to detect these things. You can't call yourself a doctor. You're not just like somebody from the street, right? You can't call yourself a doctor, trained medical professional, and not being curious at all why young people drop dead. I walked into a grocery store where there's this pharmacy which was administering injections. There's a lot of young men lying on the ground after injection. Nobody's concerned. Everybody's just like walking around him. Right? So, okay, anyway, so they have a standard. These people who are pushing the needles, they're murderers, okay? They're de facto, they're murderers. Now, the question is, was it, you know, somebody forced them, paid them, blackmailed them? You know, that's part of the investigation. But they did commit many, many murders and injuries knowingly. And then the next layer is who paid them, who forced them, who blackmailed them, which is, you know, their hospital systems. Then we end up very quickly in the money that went into the system, which is all federal dollars in the U.S. They specifically went through the Department of Defense. So this is a military operation. Department of Defense was in charge of it, still is in charge of it. They claim that they are in charge of all of government. I just published on my Substack. They have this phrase. It's called whole of government approach. So in one press conference, which is about 45 minutes, this General Talley, who is the main spokesperson for the Operation Warp Speed, repeats whole of government about 12 times. It's like a tick. It's like Tourette's. Okay? And it's a very curious Tourette's because they're running a military coup. We don't have constitutional government. He, a military guy, claims control of the whole of government. So in the United States, we don't have anymore the three branches that you know, check and balance each other. We have a military operation that has subsumed whole of government, all of the federal agencies. And so that's my primary focus. So it's the medical system that they're using to commit this mass murder, federal dollars, and the military structure that they're using to do this. Now, who is controlling them? That becomes a little fuzzier because I don't have documentation anymore. So I have all of this part I have extensively documented. The other part is, well, you can start guessing. Well, it's probably the central banks, the owners of the central banks. It's not the bank itself. The owners of the central banks, the people behind them, those families that control them, and private interests such as, let's say, Bill Gates, who funds most of WHO. You know, all of this obviously is being established through WHO now internationally. And so people who are behind WHO, which is it's a mafia, it's a total private interest-driven organization. And so whoever is behind those, such as Bill Gates, Gavi, there are a bunch of other, you know, you can see who are the main funders of WHO, and those are the people I would start looking at more specifically. And when people try to litigate this as product liability, as a pharmaceutical product liability, they get thrown out of court, and the judges, and this has been going on for a long time, judges write, this is not experimental, this is not a medical experiment, this is not a clinical trial, and so they actually like write it all out, saying, no, it's not, but when you read it and you can say, well, what does it mean really? Well, it means that they mean to kill you. This is what's
written. You'd think, wouldn't you, Sasha, that, I mean, given the weight of evidence that you've got documentation mm-hmm. showing these laws being voted through Congress, mm-hmm. going back to what, the 1940s, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And which means that every administration, whether Democrat or Republican, is implicated in this. Mm-hmm. Even suppose good guys like Ronnie Reagan, good old, you know, comedian mm-hmm. Ronnie, he was one of the good guys. They were all at it. Mm-hmm. You would have thought, wouldn't you, that this story would have carried some traction in America and elsewhere, and that you would be the heroine, for example, of the ordinary American citizen. But it hasn't happened, has it?
No, and I don't actually expect it to happen, because I see, as I said, people prefer at this point, because the deception has gone for so long, everyone is involved. To accept the truth, you have to accept that you have injured your child, just as I did. Mm-hmm. You know, I vaccinated my children. I was lied to. I wasn't smart enough to figure it out until 2020. And I know my children are injured. And, you know, so every parent has to, and I see vaccine injury in every family. Every family I know, they have vaccine-injured children. And this is, we're talking traditional ones. I also know several now whose 18-year-old has cancer from Pfizer. I have a friend dying of cancer right now, also from Pfizer. And I have several friends who had heart surgeries and, pacemakers and stuff like that. So we all know so many injured people, pretty much everyone, pretty much, you know, two-thirds of people, you know, they are vaccine injured.
Yes. Although what I find generally is that people will go so far, but then no further. So they will now, they've reluctantly come to accept that, yes, it may have been a mistake to take the vaccines, but mm-hmm. when you talk to them about things like weather manipulation or the war on farming or, mm-hmm. I mean, all the different methods that they are using to bring about a kind of new world order in which we are mm-hmm. either dead or slaves, people won't really take that imaginative leap. They'd rather be stuck in the paradigm where it's all going to be back to normal soon.
Because again, that's what their TV tells them, and they continue believing it. Although, I mean, I think that there's sort of the crack in the armor, but and we should continue. That's why we should continue speaking. We should continue speaking and bringing the evidence. And people. So right now, for example, in the U.S. they're trying to, yes, they're going after the food supply. So they're fear-mongering with this avian flu, which is nonsense. It's BS. And jumping from birds to cows, an asymptomatic cow has tested positive. And therefore now, so from today, actually, they are forced. Well, I don't know how it's enforced, but the Department of Agriculture issued order to test all the animals, the cows that are being transported state to state, test for this, you know, bird flu. This is just nonsense. It's complete nonsense. But that's how they're going to go after small farmers for whom it's, you know, hard to comply, or they can just fake test and assign, oh, your farm is now designated avian flu outbreak where nobody's sick.
Yes. And of course, it's also a war on all those people who want to keep chickens at home, thinking that mm-hmm. that can somehow... I think in Scotland now it is illegal not to register your chicken ownership with the regime, which is extraordinary. So it's the drop of a hat, they can send their boot boys round to kill your chickens mm-hmm. on the flimsiest of pretexts.
Yeah. And so the longer this continues, I mean, people will wake up. The problem is what they do after they wake up. And are they going to join the evil now openly? Or, you know, so... That remains to be seen, but this is exactly what's going on. They're just going after everything: the food supply, the weather, the poisoning. You know, I mean, it's total mayhem.
Mistakes Were Not Made, An Anthem for Justice by Margaret Anna Alice. The Armenian Genocide was not a mistake. Holodomor was not a mistake. The final solution was not a mistake. The great leap forward was not a mistake. The killing fields were not a mistake. Name your genocide. It was not a mistake. That includes the great democide of the 2020s. To imply otherwise is to give them the out they are seeking. It was not botched. It was not bungled. It was not a blunder. It was not incompetence. It was not lack of knowledge. It was not spontaneous mass hysteria. The planning occurred in plain sight. The planning is still occurring in plain sight. The philanthropists bought the science. The modelers projected the lies. The testers concocted the crisis. The NGOs leased the academics. The scientists fabricated the findings. The mouthpieces spewed the talking points. The organizations declared the emergency. The governments erected the walls. The departments rewrote the rules. The governors quashed the rights. The politicians passed the laws. The bankers installed the control grid. The stooges laundered the money. The DoD placed the orders. The corporations fulfilled the contracts. The regulators approved the solution. The laws shielded the contractors. The agencies ignored the signals. The behemoths consolidated the media. The psychologists crafted the messaging. The propagandists chanted the slogans. The fact chokers smeared the dissidents. The censors silenced the questioners. The jackboots stomped the dissenters. The tyrants summoned, the puppeteers jerked, the puppets danced, the colluders implemented, the doctors ordered, the hospitals administered. The menticiders scripted, the bamboozles bleated, the totalitarianized bullied, the COVIDians tattled, the parents surrendered, the good citizens believed and forgot. This was calculated, this was formulated, this was focus grouped, this was articulated, this was manufactured, this was falsified, this was coerced, this was inflicted, this was denied. We were terrorized, we were isolated, we were gaslit, we were dehumanized, we were wounded, we were killed. Don't let them get away with it. Don't let them get away with it. Don't let them get away with it.